basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Right, good evening, brothers and sisters. A bubble of bubbling. 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 Do you know that one? There you go. That's it. All right, brothers. We got to do it, man. All right, brothers, you ready? I want, right? All right, brothers, this is what we're doing. You ready? Bubble of bubbling. Bubble of bubbling. Come on, brothers. Bubble of bubbling. Bubble of bubbling. Bubble of bubbling. Bubble of bubbling. And then keep going, brothers. You sisters go. Jesus' love is bubbling over. Bubble of bubbling. Bubble of bubbling. Bubble of bubbling. All right, just we got a couple more weeks, so just work on it, okay? You need to commit. You need to commit to it, okay? The sisters know it. All right, very good. You know your part there. Hey, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Like I said, yesterday made a deal with the shirt guys. He's got a bunch of leftover shirts from a bunch of different jobs. So printing up all different types of colors, some on the pockets, some this. I got some more cuts coming. So just take a shirt, same thing, suggest donation, $25. Use the envelopes in the back of the sanctuary. Or if you're using cash, just write it on a piece of paper, crumple it up in the money the guy's collecting. They really like that. And then for Jesus shirts, they've just really just folded up real tight. Yeah, they like that. You don't like that? All right, man. Well, if you use a check, put it in the memo section. Put Jesus shirts there or put shirts there because we got more. We got more things coming there. Hey, turn with me to Genesis. But listen, it's most important for you to get the shirt. You got Jesus, right? You want Jesus, don't you? Period. And people are already into conversations. And now our new sinner's shirt. Sinners. These will be delivered on Sunday. And on the back, Romans 5:8. Well, we were yet sinners, right? We were yet sinners. All right. Ryan? Hoorah? Hoorah? Did you go to the recruiter? Hoorah?
Yeah.
All right. Hoorah. You are? United States of Marinos? United States? Marines? What'd you do? Army? What'd you do? Yeah, Marines? Right on.
He didn't even know.
That's like it, man. He doesn't even know. All right. On the 12th, we're at? You let me know. I got something for you. Oh, I got something for you, man.
There we go.
Be still, my heart. There you go. All right. All right. Hey, Genesis chapter 39. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. And thank you that Ryan's going to the United States Marine Corps, Lord Jesus. And that, God, I just ask you to be Lord and lifted up. And that we leave here tonight more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you, Jesus, than we came here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And Joseph, Jose, was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. So two things. Make note that he is the captain of the guard. This is going to pop up a little bit later because as you're reading, you might lose some reading comprehension here. This is really important for you to understand. And number two is, verse two is, and the Lord was with him. Wherever you and God go, you make the majority. And the Lord was with him. Now remember, Joseph, as far as we know, only heard the Lord two, maybe three times. It's not like you and I. We got the Holy Spirit every day. We can hear the Holy Spirit. We can hear God speaking to us every day. If you want to hear from God, he'll meet with you every day. This is, again, if we go pre-Genesis chapter 6, when every evil intention of man's heart was there and every evil thought, you understand, until the flood, you could still go physically meet with God. You could meet with God and talk with him. Methuselah did. Enoch did. But after the flood, again. Now, again, you wouldn't see God in his perfection, his holiness. We're going to see something here with Moses. But the further they got away from perfection, you know, where Adam is standing out there with Cain and Abel and looking on the outside of the Garden of Eden and says, boys, that's where your mother ate us out of house and home. Listen, he tells us this. So, and the Lord was with Joseph. So Joseph only heard the Lord three times in his life that we know. We don't read in Genesis where he's constantly communing with the Lord. And again, the Holy Spirit's in you and I. You have Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord. The Holy Spirit's in us. And so here, the Lord was with Joseph. And that's the other thing. He knew that the Lord was with him. All right? When you know the Lord's with you, let's see what happens in Joseph's life. He's about 17 years of age, as last we've seen here. And we're going to see how many years he spends in captivity here. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Don't think of slavery like the plight that was here in the United States enslaving a race of people, conquering them and doing that. That stuff did happen here. And this, he wasn't the type of a slave that could earn his freedom like an indentured servitude. So as we see in the New Testament, slavery is a servanthood. Sometimes people would sell themselves into indentured servitude to pay a debt, and they were still considered slaves. If you don't realize this, that Rome had more slaves. They were doctors, lawyers. These are physicians. They were the school teachers. They were tutors. They were employed. Luke was a physician, and he was a slave. Theophilus is his master, and that's who he writes to in the Gospel of Luke and also in the book of Acts. And so here was. In fact, Theophilus loaned his slave, his paid physician, to the Apostle Paul. Now, again, we're going to see later with Theophilus, and we're going to see later with Philemon and Onesimus. We're going to see what happens now because they become brothers in the Lord. But again, there still might be a paid servant there. And so he was prosperous and in his house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. How would he know that? Because Joseph's got to talk about him. And that's the thing. It isn't like, yeah, I wonder why this guy has the touch. Everything that I put him to task to, I mean, you know, the crops are better, the food tastes sweeter, things are just happening here. And there's just something about Joseph. So even though he was sold into slavery, and even though he has a little bit of autonomy, he has a little bit of freedom there, but yet he can build his own life there, and he's prosperous. The question comes up, well, I have a lot of slaves. I have a lot of servants. There's something different about you. Hey, when that question to you, let's just put it in today's vernacular right now, as an employee, again, from Genesis and a plethora of everything in the New Testament, I am convinced, and my conviction is, as a Christian, you should be the best employee. Not that you're better than anybody, not a high-minded thing. And being the best employee doesn't mean that you're employee of the month. If some company does that and your picture's up there, there's going to be some other problems in your life with that happening. But you're that person who can be counted upon. And when God blesses you and prospers you and your fellow slaves, servants, employees around you and your boss, and they ask you that question, how can he be dealing with this? Or how can this be happening? Or what's going on? And they ask you because there should be something different about us and a work ethic. And again, the Apostle Paul's right. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't be allowed to eat. All my kids grew up that way. Your chores done? Nope, you ain't eating. And hope there's some food done by the time we're finished with dinner. And my kids like to eat. They would get their chores done. And so these are the things. You don't work, you don't eat. You build that character in them. And again, listen, Christian parents, you can raise your kids in a godly home, but if they don't know why you do what you do, and you build a great work ethic in them, and they're just a worker, and they're just good, and people want to hire them and do them, but they have no depth, they have no root, they don't own their own faith, you've just raised a good, morally upright person who's going to hell, my goal is to lead everyone to Jesus Christ as Savior Lord. But listen, for you and I that are here, it's my conviction that to never ask for a raise. I don't turn down money when they want to give it to me. And if I'm not making money at the place I'm at, I either get another job or I just say, hey, I got to get another job. I don't go in and threaten that, you know, if you don't pay me. How do you? This is the thing. Maybe you can help me. Here, you want to help me? People say, we get a chance to help. Because you know when you say, hey, can I help you? I say, no, you can serve the Lord. But I'll give you a chance to help me. Help me reconcile how as a Christian, someone who's, I work for Jesus Christ Mutual Life, whatever he's got me and whatever division is paying me, how do I go in and as an employee says, I need more money. And if you give me more money, I'll work harder for you. I'll only take a 10-minute break on my 10-minute break instead of a 30-minute break on my 10-minute break. I will show up on time. I will stay a little bit later. I will get all my work done. How do you go in as an employee and try to convince your employer that you're going to work? Again, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. Did you not agree to that pay? And you don't go in and threaten and just say, I need more money. And I just, listen, I've gone in and I've talked to employers and said, listen, I'm going to have to take another job and I have to do this stuff. I need more money. Or if I can take another job and do those things, or I have to go somewhere else to make more money. And I'm not using this to make you give me more money. I'm just saying, I know you can't give me more money. I get it. And I'm going to work here as long as I can, but I'm going to be looking for other work so I can make more money. It's not a threat and it's not that. Now, if they want to give me more money, I'm going to be honest with them. And so here, when you're asked that question, so you can help me. If you know a way as a Christian that how do you go in and ask for a raise and that you'll do more work? Now, I have gone into employers and said, listen, I'm not going to work any harder. You're not going to get any more out of me. I'm giving it all, but I need more money. I'll do that. I've done that before. I said, I need more money, or I got to take another job, or I got to cut my hours back here so I can put more hours. I'll work it out. All right. But I'm not going to do anything more than I'm doing now. Either you're satisfied with the work and the habit I have right now, the way that I'm doing right now, or you're not. And if you don't like the way that work, you probably should have fired me a long time ago. All right. But I'm not going to do anything more. And they're like, this is a weird way. I've had employers go, this is a weird way to ask for a raise. I'm not asking for a raise. I'm asking for more money. You know, and the same thing when I go and I tell them, hey, in a few months, I'm going to be gone this week. And they're like, well, we really can't afford to let you have that time off. I'm not asking for the time off. What are you telling me? I'm not going to be here. You should plan appropriately. And they're like, so you're not asking for the time off? No, because if I ask for the time off and you say no, I need to agree to. No, I'm not asking for the time off. I'm just informing you. I've got a conference to go to. I've got a missions trip, or I'm serving the Lord. I'm not going to be here from this set of. And as soon as I know, I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to be gone this week. But I'm not asking for the time off, because if you say no, so I'm not. You understand about having a work ethic, whatever? I'm not threatening, I'm not doing whatever. I'm just letting them know you should plan appropriately. I will not be here. And they go, well, if you do that, I don't think we can keep you on. So that's okay. I know when I come back, there's probably going to be an opening. So we'll just see what happens. And they're like, and I had one boss tell me, he goes, I've got no juice with you, do you? Do I? I've got nothing. No. I said, listen, my call is Christian. My call is servant of the Lord. My avocation is whatever I need to do to feed and clothe and house my wife and kids. And if my wife and kids did not have an insatiable desire for food, clothing, and shelter, I could get by in a lot less. When I got married, everything I owned fit in the front of my green truck called, Kimberly called the Booger, affectionately. Everything I owned. I had to rent a trailer, a 22-foot trailer, and the Booger go to Tucson, load up all her stuff in one load, bring it back to the apartment. But everything I owned, I just scooped up like this and brought into the room, and that was it. I just warn you guys, don't buy a bigger house. They fill it up. Listen, when you're asked that question, brothers and sisters, why is there peace? Why you can handle this? I've told every one of my kids this. I've told other employees this. All right? It's better. Here's a good work ethic for you. You ready? Pithy little saying. It's better to be miserable and employed than miserable and unemployed. Just, you're like, what does he mean? Well, figure it out. All right. So here Joseph is prospering. And then look what happened in verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put into his hand. It'd be the same thing. Days of work in construction, a carpenter. And I wouldn't tell my skill set. I would just try to go in and get a job on a construction site. Where I was at, I didn't work union jobs. And I would go in and work on the jobs, and I wouldn't say anything. And invariably, by the end of a day or two, longest it ever took was a week, the foreman would come over, or the guy who's the contractor would come over, and he just sent me a set of blueprints, building track homes. There's basically four different models. He goes, here, I don't have to look at you. Here, figure these things out. Could you do this and do that? And I would come home with a set of blueprints, and Kimberly goes, are you getting any more money? No. I said, but this is what's going to happen. I'll be the last one on the job site. I'll be there walking homeowners into their homes and showing them how to adjust the thermostat. As everyone else is getting laid off, I found grace in their sight. Says, here, I don't have to worry about you. And here's what you need to do. I used to train laborers, just teach them terminology, just turn them how to do this stuff. And guys would say, here. And so here's the thing. So in a sense, yes, I did make more money than my fellow carpenters because I had a consistent job. There's times when I was making, this is 1985, 86 money, making back then $20 an hour. I know that's minimum wage somewhere, but $20 an hour. I just want to let you know, minimum wage back in my day was $1.95. So I'm making 20 bucks an hour. Job's over. I go find a job cutting trusses and cutting lumbers with my skill saw, just because the owner of this company who's building prefab trusses didn't have a compound saw. Anyways, some of you carpenters know what I'm talking about. For $6 an hour. I said, I'll do this from 6 in the morning till noon. And from noon on, I'm out looking for work for the next 3 hours. I made enough money to, you know, be late on some bills and afford the gas. Again, gas was 49 cents a gallon back then. And so I would do it. But I'm like, another guy, how can you take $6 an hour? And I go, well, how much money are you making this week? Nothing. Then I'm making more than you. It's not beneath me. My, at that time, 2 or 3 year old, I go to him and I would say, son, does it bother you that I'm making $6 an hour? He's eating SpaghettiOs and animal crackers. He don't care. And so here's the thing that it comes down to. So again, coming back here to Minnesota, did 5 different part-time jobs, about 40, 50 hours a week, because I knew as the church was going to grow, they would need more of my time. So therefore, I was just giving up one part-time job after the next. The last part-time job I gave up, they wanted to pay me more than I'm actually making right now for 20 hours a week. They wanted me to run the company. That's the thing. But I didn't show up. I just worked. Just served. I give it my all. Whatever I do. It's talking to my wife and kids. I'm all or nothing. That's it, man. I'm giving it all. Some of you served with me yesterday for a half a day. Some of you couldn't keep up with a 62-year-old broken up old man, but okay. But that's a half day. You get the other 12 hours off. And so here, and Joseph found grace in his sight and has served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he put him into his hands. There was no seniority there. There's no, I put my time in here. There's nothing about, I'm sure there's others who've been there a lot longer than Joseph. And it came to pass from that time on, he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Make sure you let your companies know that. I went into one where, trying to go back to college, take some veterans benefits and part-time job, raising kids, doing homeschool, and go and get a part-time job. At that point, it was called Office Max. It later turned into Office Depot, later turned into Office Max. And I looked during the job interview, and the guy's like, well, okay. He asked me some questions, and I go, okay. And I go, you want me to work here? Why? Because Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. I'm not going to steal from you. You're not paying me to be an evangelist. I'll evangelize on my own time. I'll talk to people if we're going to talk to people, other workers, while we're stocking shelves or doing whatever. But you want me to work here. Why is that? Because God's going to bless this store, and he's going to bless you. And I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to serve. I'm serving Jesus, and you get the benefits of it. All right? You get the benefits. Anyone get that steak and onions? You got that because of Kimberly. Wasn't thinking of you. Thinking of her. Say, thank you, Miss Kimberly. Thank you, Miss Kimberly. All right. In other words, you benefited from that. It's the same thing. That's my job interview. And then I'm like, okay, are you done with all your questions? Yeah. Well, let me interview you. What? Let me interview you. You go, well, I've never had that before. Well, I just got to find out if you're a jerk or not. I got to find out what kind of boss you are. Maybe I'm not going to really like to work for you at all. All right? So let me ask you. And he started answering questions. And at the end, I said, now you got to hire me because you just told me all your secrets. So, but 2 years later, at a Christmas party, and he's drunk, inebriated, and he's talking to Kimberly. He goes, your husband said I was a lousy manager. I was a jerk of a boss and a lousy manager. She looks at him and she goes, he is a pretty good judge of character. I'd listen to him. What? Yeah. All right, she said it nicer. You have to talk to her how she said it, but that's how I heard it. All right. Listen. So look at this chapter. We're going to get through chapters 40 and 41 really quickly, but I want to lay the foundation for this. Do this as a check the box. Is this the type of employee I am? And if not, then change. Just change. Work at it. Joseph only heard the Lord 3 times in his life, and look how faithful he's going to say, you and I get the Holy Spirit and get conviction, and we can just deal with it right here. And so again, he went to do that, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not anything he had, save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master knows not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Man, I want to be like Joseph. I mean, there's times that I know that I don't want to sin against God. I don't want to be separated from God that way, or I don't want to have that friction in between us. And this God he's talking about is Elohim. Elohim. That's God in the plural, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so how can I sin against God this way? And it came to pass at about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there inside. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment. So in other words, as my friends in Texas say, that boy ran out naked. And he said he did, his garment in hand, and was fled forth. That she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought in a Hebrew to us, to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. What do you think the chances are this isn't the first time she's done this with some of the other servants? What do you think? All of a sudden she's just pure as the wind-driven snow, like in Egypt, but we're gonna, I'm making a conjecture here, because this is a capital offense and this is a death sentence. So I'm going to read on here, but I'm going to make a conjecture here that she's not believable. But if your wife says that, what are you going to do? All right? And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord had come home. And she spoke to him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which you have brought to us came into me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." In other words, how else would I have this garment? All right, well. "And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord..." Hey, man, you want to underline that one? If you want to just go through all the Bible, "but the Lord," "but God," "but the Lord," "but God," "was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." He just made this guy's job easy. What do you think the conversation was? Why is this going on? And let's go like this. I'm going to make a conjecture here that this is a death sentence. What's he doing serving life in prison? And it's not so much life in prison. He puts him in prison here. "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound." Who, pop quiz, who is the captain of the guard? Potiphar. Who's in charge of this prison? Potiphar. There's no death sentence here. Potiphar, I mean, so think about this. This is a death sentence. He doesn't put him to death and puts him in his prison. And right there. And watches God do the same thing. You got to believe your wife. Had a guy years ago. He called me a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't seen him in about 30 years. And this guy loves serving the Lord. But his wife was jealous of his relationship with God. She's a Christian. I know, because she told me she was. And literally, this guy was leading worship, and he would have to sneak out of the house at about 5 in the morning, try to get up before and sneak out. He would position his guitars and stuff early, you know, and he just didn't want to deal with the whole hassle of coming to church. And every other month, she would try to come to church and whatever, and she persecuted him, and she just did not like his relationship with the Lord. And she did not like how well received he was at church and how well we thought of him. In fact, when he got arrested for driving without a valid driver's license and proof of and insurance, and it was found out after they'd been coming here a year, she thought for sure we'd cast him aside. He had moved from California, and I said, I went and got him out of jail, posted bail. I go, "Well, why don't you have valid insurance?" "Well, because I don't have a valid driver's license." "Okay, why don't you have a valid driver's license?" "Well, my license was suspended back in California." "So this whole time you've been coming, leading worship, doing stuff, you haven't had a valid driver's license?" "Yeah, yeah, I've been there. I've done that too." And I said, "So we got to get this cleared up." So we as a church was about 15 people at the time. We collected a bunch of money. We didn't have enough money to send him back to California, worked with the other Calvary Chapels. They met him at the airport. They picked him up in San Diego, we spent like 4 weeks of setting up everything with all the prosecutors and all the district attorneys. He's going to come and self-surrender. One, he had to drive all the way up to Northern California, self-surrender, had it all set up with the sheriff, did everything, spent a night in jail, came out, got bench tickets and stuff, got it, paid everything, paid all his fines. And that upset his wife. For some reason, I don't think she realized that we realized that everyone's a sinner. And then she'd come and say, "So how do you feel about now? He's been, this whole time, he hasn't been driving with the valid license, he's been wanted, he's got warrants for his arrest and all like that, and you guys have had him as a worship leader." I said, "Worship's been great to us, man. You know, This is great. So, okay, so he's here now. We're taking care of it. And that's when I told him, I said, brother, your wife is going to, just like this. I tell you all that because I've seen this over and over and over again. There's going to come a point where your wife's going to pit us against one another. She's going to find something, and she's going to accuse me of something, and you're going to have to choose your wife. Just going to let you know right off the bat. Just pick your wife. I'm going to work at it, deflecting as much as I can, but something's going to happen. And it happened about 2 years later. And she picked a fight, whatever. Chick said this, that. And here's the same thing with Potiphar. And they get an argument. That just doesn't sound like Chick. That doesn't sound like his character. That doesn't sound like something he says. I don't think he did that or whatever. She says, see, you're defending him? You're in a cult. She's the first one to call this Chick's Church of Christ. You're in a cult. And he's a cult leader and stuff like that. He goes, well, a cult is actually a group that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. He's a Jesus freak, but I'll give you that. And he's passionate. And he's like, bro, my wife, I says, and I think my wife's lying. I go, bro, it doesn't matter if your wife's lying or not. I said, he said, she said, I said, you're just going to have to pick your wife. That's it. I told you this was going to happen 2 years ago. I said, so we're here now. And then he did everything he can. And boy, she wanted him to go and tell everybody else, you know, and she called a lot of the other Calvary chapels around, crack up ish. She didn't realize we're the ones who planted those other Calvary chapels. And then she says, I'm going to get a hold of Mike Fernandez over in the Twin Cities there. And then she found out that's his best friend. Okay, there's just no, I got no play here, you know. And so here, the captain of the guard, man, it's Potiphar. And so they have these dreams. One was the cupbearer, one was the baker, and they have these dreams. Prison official says, hey, there's a guy here. He says, tell me the dreams. And he says, I'll tell you. But it's not me. It's my God who's going to tell me. God gets all the glory. One says, hey, I had, you know, but I think, look at verse 14. Or look at verse 1. And it came to pass, and after these things, the butler of the kings in Egypt, the baker, the offended the Lord, put him in the prison. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season. So the captain of the guard, so Potiphar says, you need to take care of these guys. I'm making a conjecture. I'm thinking there's a way for Potiphar to get Joseph out of prison. It won't be him releasing him because, you know, he's got to go home and take care of, you know, Mrs. Potiphar. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, in each man's dream, in one night, in each man, according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker and the king of Egypt. Where he was bound in prison. And Joseph came to them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today? And they said to him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. Don't they belong to God? Okay, if there's an interpreter, let me have that. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. Oh, man, they started early on that one. To Joseph, and he said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine, oh, thank you, I got light there, in the branches, and it was said, you know, when you commit crime a few weeks ago and they put lights up for you, you know, God works it up. All right. And it was thought, and it budded and blossomed and set forth in the clusters thereof, and it brought forth the ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, and within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head and restore you in your place, and you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner in which you were his butler. But think on me, verse 14, no problem. Hey, when you get out, think on me. Think on me. Now, I've been in jail. We've all done the same thing. First guy out, hey, go talk to my mom. Go talk to my buddy. They never do, because I never did. They never do. Hey, when you get out, hey, but think of me when it shall be well with you. Show kindness, I pray you, to me. And make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and there also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. And I said, three white baskets there, okay, the baker, and the baskets on my head. And the interpretation of the baskets, there was all manner of baked meats, for Pharaoh and the birds did eat of them, of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head from off you, and shall hang you on a tree, and the birds shall eat your flesh from off you. Shouldn't it be like, I mean, just think if the Holy Spirit was indwelling Joseph. Just think about that. And he was a Christian, like today. Wouldn't his response be, as a Christian, I didn't hear anything. Nothing. I got nothing. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to tell you. You won't be pleased with it. Make up things. Says, nope, 3 days, tells him. And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, and he made a feast to all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler, of the chief baker, among them servants. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpretation of them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph? No, forgot him. Chapter 41, quickly. If you've read ahead, and I encourage you to read ahead, chapters 42 through 46 for next week. But Pharaoh has this dream. All his astrologers, soothsayers can't have it. He sees lean years. He sees lean cows. He sees grain. He sees this. 3 years later. And the butler goes, hey, I remember a guy. Huh. And he can do this. So there he is. 3 years later. He says, tell me. He says, tell me what it is. And he says here, and he asks him, says, hey, can you tell me? He says, no, but the God I serve is. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, verse 25, the dream of Pharaoh is one God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. They took him out of the depths of the prison, cleaned him up, shaved him, got him all spruced up. Tells him there's going to be 7 good years, and there's going to be 7 lean years. And Pharaoh said, and says, and so then he also goes this, and it's this as well. Tells him here, goes a little bit further, says, you should find somebody that during the good years can manage this so you'll have plenty of food during the bad years. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And again, the word he's using here is Elohim. This pagan, sun-worshipping heathen is acknowledging Elohim. And he says, can we find someone as wise as you are? And he says right there, you shall be over my house, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you, just like at Potiphar's house. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring of his hand, meaning of royalty, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride a second chariot, which he had, and they cried before him and bowed the knee. Huh. I wonder if Mrs. Potiphar bowed the knee. I mean, what a turn of events. And bowed the knee and made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephathananeah, and he gave him as a wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and on and on and on. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt, out of prison, made second in it. That's how quickly it is. And here's your wife. Okay. All right. And Joseph was 30 years old. Anyone good at math? 30 minus 17. 13 years, sold into slavery, only heard God 3 times. And then through the butler, through the baker, Now this, my God can do this. So Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And he entered the service of, is what he's saying. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth handfuls. And he gathered food for the 7 years. And then during the seven lean years, he started buying up. Government started buying everything up. And we'll sell you grain and we'll do all these things. And we do that. And people were selling their property. We got to feed. And again, this is also grain to feed their cattle. And this is food and substances and all these things. Look at verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, and what he says to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all, what do you think all means? All the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Chapter 42, verse 1, and now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look one to another? And he said, behold, I've heard that there's corn, there's gold in them hills, there's corn in them hills in Egypt. Get down there and buy for us in that place, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren. Why do you think that is? For he said, lest perhaps mischief befall him. He doesn't believe what happened to Joseph, and we're going to see that later. I've seen this. You're bringing back his coat, and there's all this blood on it. I don't know whose blood that is. And I know you did this to eat some of the flock while you were out tending. It's kind of common knowledge that you really didn't like Joseph. Just wondering, man. You didn't present a body there. We're going to see chapters 42 through 46. Read ahead for next week. But again, walking in the Spirit, you and I get the Holy Spirit. We can hear the Lord each and every day if you want to. If you want to hear from Him, if you want to know what God is doing, then practice listening to Him. And do the things in such a way that you don't want to move until the Lord shows you. I start my day with a proverb a day, and my utmost for His highest devotional, or I might be using something else, and I'm priming the pump and get it going, and I've been doing that. I mean, if there's 30, there's 31 proverbs, but, you know, how many months have 28 days in them? All of them do. All right. But you got anywhere from 30 to 31 Proverbs? Read a proverb a day. So today's the 31st. What proverb do you think I read today? Kimberly. I read about Kimberly today. All right. So, and if you're not reading Proverbs 31, you weren't able to laugh. You have such a diabolical laugh. I know you're a Christian. I know you're saved, man. I love that laugh, man. I like listening to the messages online just so I can hear Anita, ha! And then Shannon, I love it, man. And then Bruce. Here's Bruce laugh. So then, I like that. But, listen. Is God with you? Does the world around you? Listen. The reason why we got these colored shirts is because I'm doing something. I'm sharing the Lord with the guys doing the shirts and coming in, and He's got ideas, and we're still, what about this, and what about that, and we're talking about the Lord. He says, hey, I got baptized. My wife and I got baptized last week. Do you know why? Yeah. We got an election. Okay, there's a little progress. I mean, might be works or whatever, but I love the guy, man. Known him for years, and just, you got any shirts just sitting there? I'm trying to buy his salvation, you know, and just working with him, buying shirts. You got anything? You got any shirts left over from any other projects? I got this color. I got that color. I got women's color. Get creative. I said, I don't know how I'm going to pay you. We'll have to sell them. I'll pay you if you're okay waiting for the money. You know, my policy, as long as I owe you, you'll never be broke. And he's like, I like this. And he's the one who came up with God is the way on the pocket shirts. He goes, I just got an idea. I'm putting these do you like this idea? And I go, that's great. He goes, good, because I already put them on the shirts. Because I said, Slade, I like the way you think, because I like the way you think too, man. All right, we're going to get crazy out here, man. Just go crazy. He goes, all right. But again, this guy's getting encouraged to walk with the Lord. There's a guy I met back in 2009, a Marine security guard. I was there in Israel for the Marine Corps birthday, which is 10 November. And was there, and I got to meet the Marine security guard. They asked me to do the invocation for the opening prayer for the Marine Corps ball. It's our birthday, and man, it was just a small detachment of 12 guys, 12 Marines. I figured, well, didn't realize it's the hottest ticket in town. There was over 600 people there, and it's the first time I actually ever wrote down a prayer. My kids had got me an iPad, so might as well use it, and I just said, Kimberly, what are you doing? I'm going to write down a prayer, and I wrote down this prayer, and just one thing, basically it was a sermon, and I'll read it to you November 9th. But there was one young man there who backslidden. I said, my daughter's going to be here. It's going to be her first Marine Corps ball. It's going to be her first. And I said, who's the most honorable among you that I'll allow to dance with my daughter? And all 11 pointed to this one guy. Just him. And I looked at him, you. And he goes, yeah, me. And I go, and he started talking a bit. And I go, you're a backslidden Christian, aren't you? I mean, you know the Lord. He goes, well, I'm not doing too. We're going to go, okay. I just want to say, they all outed you. So he was able to dance with her. And he came back to the Lord after that visit. We've stayed in contact since 2009. He not only did that, he went back to school, earned some degrees. He got all the way up to E9. It's the highest enlisted rank. And now he transferred over. So the Marine Corps is a department of the Navy. I say the men's department, but it's the department of the Navy. But the Navy takes care of all our medical and our dental and our religious. He's a Navy chaplain. Still serving with the fleet and the Marines and stuff, but he goes, I'm staying, this is my calling. Because I'm going to be a government-paid missionary. And he's doing that. But we've kept in contact all these years and all this stuff. And he just says, man, I didn't know someone could be a Christian. I remained faithful to the Lord that my last 2 years of active service in the Marine Corps. I didn't know you could do that. And we just, tell me more. And he's been walking with the Lord ever since. And now he's going to continue on as a Navy chaplain. All because he had a question like, there's something different about you. Well, it isn't like everyone else says, there's something that ain't right with you. That's different. That's always been my whole life. Who does that? That's all I've heard my whole life. And what is it? And then he watched me. There's a thing that we do in the Marines. You lift up a drink, take a shot for your brothers in arms who aren't there. And the colonel's pouring everyone a shot. And he sees me with it. We lift it up. And everyone's like, yay! And he sees me not drink it. And he's like, so you're not going to? And they're all watching. I said, yeah, I'm not going to drink it. It's just alcohol right now. It hasn't done anything to me right there. Colonel's like, I respect that. All right. And so there was other Marines there to take the shot for me. But how can you do that? Listen, I don't set out. It's not my plan to be this way. I'm not that bright. Stick around long enough, you know that. But that's just how I want to live. I don't have to think about it. It's just who I am. Now, and I want to see when I come home. I'll finish with this. One contractor called me for the next 2 years. Next 3.5 years, 2.5 years in Oceanside when I was on staff as an assisting pastor. And he would call my home and, hi, Kimberly. He goes, yeah. He goes, hey, I got this other job. Is Chick done pastoring? He goes, no. And she's like, half the church is Marines. The other half are carpenters. We can get you some. He goes, no, I just want him. I just want him. I never had it. And then when I felt obligated, when we were moving back to Minnesota, I said, we're moving back to Minnesota. He goes, you're never going to come back. You tricked me. How did I trick you? I told you. My avocation is banging nails, man, building homes. My vocation is servant of the Lord. I'm going to Minnesota. You're never going to come back. Then my response is, don't move to Minnesota and start a contracting company. I'm not going to work for you there. How are you going to do that? He found grace in it. I just wanted a job to feed my wife and kids and make a little bit of money and go on missions trips and serve the Lord. And this guy, I just working. But yet, the other thing, when Kimberly would see me come home with my own set of plans, she learned early on, all the carpenters don't get their own set of plans. No, I'm the de facto assistant foreman or whatever, I'm this, and I'm going to train everybody. And there was like, and you're not going to get more money for that? And I tuned Kimberly up and says, oh yeah, he's going to get more money. Well, you're all laid off because you're off of the next job. He'll still be working. They'll find work for me, find grace in that. I don't say these things to make myself better than you or do this thing. I just want to say, I couldn't have planned that. All I know is Christ crucified. My life verse is Galatians 6:14. Not, maybe you don't have a life verse, but mine is this. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And I just want to let you know, Ryan, you don't have to cuss and swear in the Marine Corps. If you've been around with my friend Ron, he almost led his drill instructor to the Lord because he was different. It's better to be miserable in boot camp with the Lord than to be miserable and not have the Lord in boot camp. Just want to let you know. And so there's what happens, folks. Let's just live our lives for Jesus, right? And just do it. Give it up. Hey, listen, they already think you're a freak. Just remove all doubt. Lord Jesus, thank you. And God, that we would just serve you, surrender all to you. You're worthy of praise and honor and glory. And may we leave here with Jesus. Suggested donation, $25 for the shirt. Lord Jesus, may we leave here with you in our hearts, that we get this. We have more of a relationship with you than Joseph. Why is it, Lord, that we have more of a relationship with you, with your Holy Spirit being with us, and yet I can be less than Joseph in my actions? So, Lord Jesus, I just want to fall more in love with you. We just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great night. Hey, food's there, man. Dwayne's there cooking up. This is what we call an afterglow gorge. There you go. No one loses weight in this church unless you absolutely want to.